welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. And if you should just be catching the broadcast for the first time or midweek, we have been looking at the book of Isaiah. And basically, put very simply, the Lord was not pleased with Judah and Jerusalem. They were going through all the religious practices, the solemn assemblies, the festivals, and the Lord was saying, He spoke very strongly in that first chapter. He said, I hate them. I can't stand them. But you read it for yourself. He had very strong feelings. And he was upset because while they had a form of godliness, they denied the power. They did not walk in holiness and righteousness before the Lord. And so the prophet Isaiah was called upon to speak the heart of the Lord to them. And for example, here, let's look at, it is in chapter 3, verse 8. The prophet is speaking, "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen. Why? Because their tongue and their doings, what they say, what they do, are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory. The shoe of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not." That's a strong, that is a strong condemnation, if you recall the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. "Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." And beloved, so often we can read scripture like this. These were God's chosen people. And somehow we think, well, yeah, we wouldn't do stuff like that. Well, beloved, we are in danger if we think that we are immune from the attacks of the enemy, the deceptions of the enemy. You know, one of the things I used to say, Lord, it scared me more than anything to be deceived, because you know what? If you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. So that's why it's so important that the Spirit of truth will lead us into all righteousness. And thank God, we don't have to be concerned or vague or mystified about the will of God. It is revealed in the Word of God. Through Old and New Testament, there is a picture of the holiness and righteousness of God and how He expects His people to respond and act. He's not a cruel taskmaster. He loves His people, but He will not tolerate sin. It was sin that took Jesus to the cross, and the horrors and the pain and the suffering, all that He endured for our sakes, because we were, you know, we were separated by sin, and it was only God's wonderful plan of salvation that restored and reunited us to fellowship with our Heavenly Father. But if we will hear the word of the Lord, if we will allow, when the Lord chastens us, if we will say, "Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't aware," and repent of the things. If you think you are without sin, well, what does the Bible say about that? You're really deceived, because we all, until the day we are with the Lord, even though we may be the most godly person, we seek righteousness, all of us are going to sin. We're in a carnal, fleshly body. And so thank God for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. And if we sin, we can call upon Jesus, our advocate, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness, John says. And so we have that assurance. We don't take it lightly. We don't spurn or abuse the grace of God. Oh, well, I can just go ahead and do that because I can just repent. Oh, beloved, you're walking a very, very dangerous road if you ever think that. So, beloved, but if we will seek God, verse 10 goes on to say, this is the prophet, "Now say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." Again, what we do. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given to him. We get to choose. We can be wicked or we can be righteous. And so we are able to make that choice. And listen, that was true in the time of God's people in ancient Israel. It's true for us today, because sinning and compromise and just giving in a little, that's a very slippery slope. And we have to understand that we are serving a holy God, and he is holy, and be ye holy. That word, that's also a command for us. Now, let me share a couple verses in Isaiah, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read verse 13. Because of their wickedness, what happens? That's true for us. I mean, I'm just not reading stuff about angels. The point of this is to apply it to our own lives. Because of their actions, because of their words. Verse 13 in chapter 5 says, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged her mouth, hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. That's a frightening thought. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Praise God. And verse 17 says, then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so verse 20 says, woe unto them, and is this not happening today? Woe unto them. This is happening in America, which was, quote, once a Christian nation. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21, I'll read, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They are so deceived, and we can see that today. I won't go off into the political realm, but I'm telling you, all we have to do is look around. People are so confused. Yes, they're not even sure what sex they are. Isn't that sad? Praise God. God made them male and female, and that's all I have to say about that. And in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 6, it says that God is giving a parable about a vineyard, and the owner of this vineyard had done everything for it. He spared nothing, yet for all his labor of love and help, the vineyard was profitable for nothing. Let's look at that, Isaiah 5, 1 through 6. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered up the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress thereof, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and ye men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. There was a hedge, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant fruit. Beloved, yes, I know this was spoken to Israel, but God, the principles are true today. We can't dismiss this and say, in fact, I've actually heard, you know, we don't bother to read the Old Testament anymore. We're New Testament people. We just have to look at what the epistles have to tell us. Well, the God of the New Testament is the God of the Old Testament. He has not changed in character, in plan, in temperament. He is a holy God. And the things that the Old Testament speaks to us today, I mean, come on. You want to do away with the book of Psalms? No. Well, people, oh yeah, we'll read the book of Psalms. Oh, Proverbs too. But the words of the prophets, beloved, they speak to human nature, to fallen man. Even though that man may be righteous, God warns us. And so, beloved, this, what God was saying, this is really a picture of Israel's ingratitude, and that can be true. We have been blessed with so much here in America. God has called this nation. We have been blessed above all the nations of the earth. And we are throwing away our freedoms. We are throwing away the very foundation of this nation because we say we don't need God. We've taken him out of the schools. We've taken him out of the public square. And we're reaping the whirlwind. God had done for Israel and Judah everything he, as God, could do. But in the end, they rejected him. How many today have rejected the living, loving God of love? This nation has rejected him in so many high places. The church in so many areas have rejected the king. There's a falling away. It talks about it, a great apostasy. He's done everything for them, nurtured them, pulled the weeds, picked out the rocks, laid before them the outpourings of his presence in years past, and still they reject him. They think they're fine, just like ancient Israel. Oh, they did all their festivals, and the Lord, you read that first chapter, I won't reread it, how he felt about that. Praise God. Well, beloved, I'll pause here, and tomorrow we're going to move to Isaiah chapter 6 and see what happens there. I love you. I thank you for joining me. And as always, if you have prayer needs, this is a ministry of prayer and correspondence got raised up in 1965 with my late husband, Reverend Neil Glass. And this is a sacred part of our ministry. I mean, I love broadcasts, but I love answering the mail. No one else handles the mail but myself. And I have a great heart for our partners, for anyone that writes. Only the Lord knows the depth of my commitment to the partners and to God's people. I pray for the radio audience too. Some of you don't even write. You've listened a long time. I remember one dear sister said she listened for 25 years and finally she wrote. I was so excited. And if she's listening, you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, I love you. I thank God for all of you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.